After God gives you a great blessing, often he may give you a test. After he's shown you something wonderful, he may then see what's really in your heart. Now, Jesus had just been baptized in a wonderful way. A voice spoke from heaven. The Father said, "This is my Son. With him I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit was seen to come down and to fill and anoint Jesus for his service. But then, it says, full of the Holy Spirit, verse 1, he went out into the desert, into the wilderness. That's where the Spirit took him, away from the people, away from the crowds, but there to test him. This was how Jesus began his service. After he came forward into public, this was what he began with. The temptation in the wilderness to prove his worthiness, to prove that he was the Son of God. Now there's a lot we can learn here. Well, first we're going to talk about why Jesus was tempted. Many things you could find in this passage. You can learn how to resist the devil. You can learn what strengths you need. You can learn where to get the help. And you can see here Jesus, sinless, Jesus perfect. You can see what a man is like when he's full of the Spirit of God. You can see him strong in the Word of God. He's a great example. But there's much more than that. Much more. So in the Bible, there were two great temptations before this time. There were two who were tempted in a very special way. Remember, right at the beginning of the Bible, there was Adam. The last verse that we read last week. The son of Adam, who was the Son of God. Now, Adam was made as one in the image of God. God had a son in the world who was to lead the world, to lead the human family, who was to bring us to blessing, bring us even to glory. But Adam was tested. He was tempted. Satan entered the garden under the form of a serpent. Adam was tested. Would he obey the word of God? Would he lead the human family God's way? Or would he go his own way? Well, Adam sinned and he fell. The image of God in him was spoilt. And he lost the opportunity he had. But God raised up another son for himself. He raised up the nation of Israel. He delivered them out of Egypt. And he gave them his law. And he gave them that law so they could be a blessing to the whole world. That they could lead the world again into light. That the world could be restored and blessed through Israel, his new son. But they also were tested, weren't they? As Israel sent out the spies into the promised land, they were being tested. Would they take the land in God's way? Would they trust him to lead them? Would they trust that God would provide for them? Would God be enough for them? But we know what happened. They didn't believe God's word. And when they were going there, they complained, they moaned. They wouldn't believe in the God who had delivered them. And they were tested for 40 days as the spies went into the land. But because they didn't believe God, they were judged for 40 years. They all died in the desert, in the wilderness, the other side of the Jordan, the wrong side of the Jordan. They all died. None of them went in, except for Joshua and for Caleb. Now, what's happening here in Luke, in these words we have? Jesus goes beyond the Jordan to be tested again for 40 days in a desert. Adam was tested in paradise, in a beautiful, beautiful garden. But after he fell, man was in the wilderness, and he had to be tested in the wilderness. But for 40 days here, Jesus is tested. And you see what the test is, verse 3. If you are the Son of God. And then verse 9. If you are the Son of God. That's a test. Is Jesus really the Son of God? Is he going to be the one to succeed where Adam failed? Where Israel failed? They should have brought the human race. They should have brought us to life and to glory, but they failed by disobedience. They did not trust the living God. But will Jesus be the true Son of God who can rescue us? He can take us out of the wilderness of sin. He can bring us into fellowship with God again. Is it he who will be the one to win the nations again back to faith in the true and living God? So that's why he's being tested. Is he the Son of God that you can give your life to? Is he the one for you to believe in and gain salvation? That's the test. Now there's three tests. There's one in verse 2 up to 4. There's one in verses 5 up to 8. There's one in verses 9 up to 13. See on your sheet. First temptation, second temptation, third temptation. Well, for 40 days, it tells us in verse 2, he was tempted and he ate nothing. He fasted. Just like Moses coming out of Egypt, bringing the people, taking them towards the promised land, but receiving the law of God. Moses, he ate nothing for 40 days. Now the law later was very much forgotten by the children of Israel, and they just threw it away. But God raised up prophets to bring them back. And at the head of the prophets was, do you know who? Elijah. And Elijah went out to the same place in the wilderness where Moses was. Went out to Mount Sinai. And for 40 days, he took no food. But of course, Israel again fell far into sin. But now Jesus comes, and for 40 days, he goes without food to be tested again. Following in their steps. Humbling himself before God. Presenting himself to God as the new son, ready to save God's people. And now the devil comes, verse 3. Jesus is hungry. And the devil says, well, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. You know, prove who you are. Provide for yourself. Feed yourself if you're the Son of God. Now, what's the temptation? The temptation is, don't wait for God. Just do something yourself. Use your own powers to look after yourself. Don't wait for God to look after you. So he's trying to divide the Son from the Father. He's trying to separate Jesus from his God. Yes, Jesus had these powers, but they were not given so that he could forget his Father. They were given so he could use them to obey his Father. Now, see, it's the same temptation was given to Adam. Now, Adam was made the Lord of the Garden of Eden, and he was given the trees, except one. But Satan came to him to try to divide him from God and to say to him, just go your own way, rely on yourself, make yourself like God. God doesn't know what's best for you, so just forget him. You choose for yourself what's best for you. Become independent of God. Now, have you ever had that temptation? Of course. We all have it each day. The devil says, don't trust God, don't wait for him, he's too slow. Just go your own way, use your own resources, be independent of God. So it's an awful temptation, it's a terrible thing. You might think, well, he's a hungry man, why doesn't he just eat? But the temptation is not to wait for God's provision and God's time, but to go his own way. Now Jesus answered, verse 4. And his answer comes from the scripture. It comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. And there Moses was speaking to Israel. And Moses was saying, you know what God did for you for 40 years in the desert? You know that he brought down the manna from heaven. You were fed with the food that came down from heaven. And all that time, your shoes didn't wear out. God kept you. He provided for you each day. So you know you can trust him. Man should not live by bread alone. That means it doesn't just exist by the bread which he finds by his own hands. But the way that he survives each day is by trusting the word of God. That's what he really needs. And if there's no bread in the deserts, then God can send it from heaven. So you just need to trust him. So that's what Jesus is saying in verse 4. It says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. And what he means is that God will take care of me in the right time. God has sent me here. I'm being faithful to him. I don't need to cheat. I don't need to break the rules. I don't need to rely on myself. My Heavenly Father will take care of me. Now, is that how you live today? When a challenge comes, what do you say? Do you say, well, I need to cheat here. I need to break the laws of God a little bit. And surely he'll understand. Surely it'll be okay. Because he knows I need to get some bread. That is a temptation from the devil. That is Satan's trap to divide you from God. Don't do it. But trust in Jesus, who shows us the way. Now let's look at the second temptation. Verses 5, 6, and 7, and 8. So Satan led him to a high place. He showed him the glory of the world. He showed him the kingdoms. Showed him the power. And Satan said, I can give this to you. Now, the glory of the world belongs to the Son of God. Okay. Adam was told that he should rule over this world. And that he should be the one to work, to develop, but to reign under God, as the friend of God, to reign. And all this he should enjoy. And that was for Israel too. And Israel began to taste that when they obeyed the law. Under the time of King David, they began especially to defeat their enemies. Well, they'd begun under Joshua, but under David, they really had a time of peace and a prosperity. And the great wisdom of Solomon began to move out to the world. Other nations began to be blessed. But they lost it because of sin. But it is God's calling for man to rule over the world. But he's to do it God's way. By patient obedience. By trusting. By working in honesty day after day. By 6 days of honest labor, by one day of worship, man gets the strength to go out and conquer the world and to offer it up to God. To enjoy it under God. Now, the world belonged to Jesus then. Because he's the Son of God. He's come to be the king. But the way he was to get it was by the cross. By obeying his Father. By humbly walking in obedience. By suffering. By being rejected. And by pouring out his blood for the sins of the world. By being crucified. And then going to the grave. And being raised from it. That was God's purpose for Jesus. He was to be the king. But he had to win it by his blood, by pain, by rejection, by suffering. Now Satan comes and says, I can give you it an easier way. I can give you glory without suffering. You can reign without the crown of thorns, just the crown of gold today. You can reign without the cross. That's the temptation. The same temptation was given to Adam. Adam was told that his family should spread out to cover the earth, to make the whole earth like the paradise of Eden, and to enjoy it. But by 6 days of labor, hard labor, and a Sabbath of rest, week after week, month after month, year after year, century after century. But Satan came and said, Adam, I can make you like God today. Adam, just eat of the fruit and you can be a god. You can decide your own good and evil. You can reign and you can get rid of the other god. But it was a lie, wasn't it? Adam, for one moment, he tasted a kind of freedom. Oh, I set my own rules. I'm my own god. But it was a bitter taste when it reached his stomach. It was bitter. He couldn't be God his own way. He couldn't be God anyway. The world then was cursed. Adam lost what he had. But Satan's promises are lies. Satan comes to you. He says, here's an easy way. Here's a quick way. We'll lift you up. But it's a lie. You know the fisherman? He puts his hook into the water. But he disguises his hook with some bait. He puts some worm on it. He puts some food on there. The fish sees the bait. He goes to eat it. But then the hook gets him. That's what Satan does. Yes, Satan has filled the world with evil. And so he's saying to Jesus, well, I've got the world now under my grip. I can lift you up, you know. But it's a bitter taste. And it doesn't last. The kingdom of Satan can't last. Israel died in the wilderness when they rebelled against God. When they said, we know better, they perished. So Jesus quotes verse 8. He quotes from verses from the wilderness. Moses spoke these words to Israel in the wilderness. He said, it is written, worship the Lord your God, serve him only. The only way for us to rise up is by trusting God, patiently waiting for him, but being faithful to him. And for us today, that means the way of the cross. There's no quick way to glory. We have to follow Jesus. We have to be ready to pay the price, to pay the cost. And then he'll lift us up. That's the only way. Now let's look at the third temptation. Verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 9 to 13. The devil takes him to Jerusalem, verse 9. He stands him on the highest point of the temple. And it was a long, long way down from there. Again, he says, if you're the Son of God, you know, why don't you prove it? Throw yourself down. And he said, well, God will save you if you throw yourself down. And the devil even quotes the Bible. The devil speaks words out of Psalm 91. He says, this is what it says. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You'll be protected. Now, it's a temptation to presumption. That is, to just rely on his status. That he can just do what he likes and he'll be safe. Because God will take care of him. You hear pastors today, they speak like that sometimes. That they say, well, maybe what I'm doing is wrong, you say. Maybe what I'm doing is wicked, you say. But I'm the anointed one of God and God will take care of me. That's the same kind of thing, really. Well, someone today is tempted. That, you know, just go your own way. Do something foolish. Do something wrong. But because you're a Christian, God will take care of you. Because you've been baptized, God will protect you from any harm. Even if you forget his laws. Even if you're completely careless about him. And the devil can make it sound very clever. The devil makes it sound very believable. Even he quotes the Bible at you. Paul said that the devil hides himself like an angel of light. God's word sometimes is used to do wrong, like here. So be wise, be discerning. Listen carefully to what someone is saying. Listen carefully. If the devil brings you the scriptures, look at how he's using them. Jesus should be walking in faith. Adam was tempted that if he went his own way, everything would be okay. He wouldn't lose any blessing. That was how Israel was tempted. If they grumbled against God, if they complained, if they disobeyed his laws, yeah, everything would still be okay. They were still God's people. Abraham was their father. They'd be okay. But it's not true. If you go against God, if you presume upon God that God will take care of you, even if you forget him, he doesn't have to take care of you then. The promise in the psalm is not to protect you, however foolish you are, however rebellious and stubborn you are. It's a promise to protect you when you walk faithfully. Don't think you can do anything and God will just pick up the pieces afterwards and put them back together. God, he's not like the health insurance fund. You know, maybe a person, they get themselves into danger. And then they go to the health insurance fund to pay their hospital bills afterwards. God's not like that. God is to be feared, not to be provoked. So Jesus says, verse 12, he says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And that means a presumptuous test. A test where you leave God's ways and yet you still think God will take care of you. Yeah, you should put him to the test by believing his promises and walking faithfully. But not put him to the test by leaving his ways and expecting him still to make everything all right again afterwards. God's promises are not like a license you get to sin and depart from him. These words again come from Deuteronomy. Again, Moses spoke them out in the wilderness, the other side of Jordan. He told Israel not to forget God, not to take God for granted. It's not to assume and presume that God would always protect them however they lived. Jesus answered, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And so Jesus showed himself to be the Son of God. The one who relied fully on God, who walked fully in obedience to him. Not trying to find any quick ways to get to glory, but willing to go the way of the cross. this is God's Son. He bled and he died for sins. Have you trusted in Jesus? Have you committed yourself to him today? Are you relying upon him? He's the Son who will take the people of God to glory. He's faithful. He'll never leave the way. He'll never fail us. He'll never let us down. Trust in him and you'll be safe. You'll be safe today. You'll be safe forever. Adam failed. Israel failed. But Jesus can never fail. He's the one who came from heaven to lift us up to heaven. At verse 13, the devil finished. He failed. And he left him. The Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. The devil cannot touch Jesus. He cannot touch those who are safe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus today, and you'll be safe in him. The devil won't have any claim on you. He won't be able to do anything to you. Yes, God might lead you into the desert sometimes. He might lead you into the wilderness. But if Jesus is with you there, you'll be quite safe.